May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 708. As when a child secure of harms hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. 708.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we will read the Gospel recorded by Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel recorded by Mark, the 4th chapter. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. He said unto them, He that have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then shall ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither is anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Almighty and holy Lord God, thou who art the sovereign ruler of the skies and of the seas and of the earth, we pray that thou wouldst come into our assembly this night and say to one and another, peace be still. And may we know the peace made by the blood of Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, the Lamb of God. Give us that faith this evening to behold him as our sacrifice, as our peace, as our eternal all. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of truth we have read, and we ask that thou wouldst bless it to our souls, that we may profit from what we have read. Let manna to our souls be given, the bread of life sent down from heaven. Grant, Lord, that there may be hungry souls this night who are fed by thine almighty hand. And Lord, there must be life before there is hunger, before there is feeding. Could it please thee, Lord, to give that life where there is a death? And to give that hunger for the first time to one and another as they come into the sanctuary of God this night? And give them that appetite for the things of God. And those, Lord, whose appetite has grown cold, may it be restored. And those, Lord, who have that appetite, may it be sustained. And grant, Lord, that souls may feast by precious faith on Christ this day. May we know what it is to be blessed with living faith in a living Lord, and to have that faith increased. May we be blessed with all the fruits of the Spirit, and may we know them also to be increased. For the greater the fruit, the greater glory and honour comes to thee. Give to us each that love to thee, Lord Jesus. And may that be the motivation for how we live. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Bless, we pray, this house of prayer. And bless each soul who gathers here week by week, whether present or absent this night. May it be said of this people that thou hast loved each and every one of them with an everlasting love. That thou hast given all that sail with thee. That in the day of judgment, none of us who have gathered here to worship this day may be left out and left behind when thou dost come to take thy ransomed people home to heaven. Bless the ministry of thy word here, and may it be made precious and profitable to many souls. Bless the hearing of the word of God. Hear and answer the prayers of thy people here. And do supply their various needs, their various concerns, their various cares. Grant them thy guidance in each pathway of life. May they see thy hand going before them in the way, supplying every need, bearing every burden. Bless the deacons of this cause and each church member. May they be united together in love and union. And may they often commune with each other of what Jesus has done for them. And may they know what it is to have their hearts burning together and knit in closer union as they speak together of Christ. Do add unto this church those whom thou hast saved. Those who are exercised, bring them forth by thy almighty hand. Do add unto this congregation those who it is thy sovereign will to save and to feed under this ministry. And bless, we pray, thy church as it meets together in the various assemblies of thy saints, up and down our land and throughout the whole world. Bless thy servants as they proclaim the precious Christ. Pour into each vessel the glory of Emmanuel, and then pour out upon the hearers that same glory. Grant, Lord, the preaching tongue and the hearing ear, and the hearts to receive and obey thy word. And bless, we pray, this nation, and grant thy guidance at this time of uncertainty. Rule and overrule in the councils of government, and raise up godly leaders in our parliament, even at this time, who will know what Britain ought to do, and not be ashamed to do it. Call by grace our Prime Minister and Cabinet, and if it is thy will, put into this new parliament a sizable voice of members who are willing to speak and to defend thy truth. Grant, Lord, that through the mysterious overruling of this time, that this election may prove to be the beginning of the return to thee. Grant, Lord, that reviving amongst our fellow men and women, that awakening to the great danger and their great need of thee. And Lord, may we each be revived. May we each have that need continually before us. Visit in mercy the royal house and the national church. Grant, Lord, that there may be some Moseses and Daniels among them, and Obadiahs. Grant, Lord, we may live to see better days in this nation. And begin, Lord, that revival in our own hearts. Prepare us, Lord, for that day when we must launch in worlds unknown and stand before thy judgment throne. In that hour, stand by and stand with us. May we be clothed in the righteousness of Christ and washed in his precious blood, redeemed, ransomed, forgiven. May we find that our unworthy names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and on thy heart. Bless thee, children, and follow with thy blessing the labours of the Sabbath school this afternoon. And bless them in their young days. Put a hedge about them and protect them. Give them a love to thee and to thy cause. Open doors for them and guide them in the pathways that thou wouldst have them to go, and guide them into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. May they each be kept to thy ways and be blessed and made a blessing in this and other houses of God in the years to come. Grant wisdom to parents to bring up their children in thy fear. And may they see answers of prayer for them. And now, Lord, we pray for any who perhaps feels to be at wit's end corner, who feels to be a sparrow alone upon the housetop, who feels that they cannot go on a step further. Lord, this night, could it please thee to draw near unto them? And grant them to know that they are not forgotten of thee. Help us now, we pray, as we plead the all-prevailing name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? 957.
Seeking the Lord's help, I ask your attention this evening to the Gospel recorded by Mark, the 4th chapter, the last part of the 36th verse. And there were also with him other little ships. And there were also with him other little ships. We have here, in these few verses, an unexpected trouble and an almighty deliverance. We have here the trial of faith. But they all got safe to land. The Lord Jesus had been teaching and preaching that day. A parable of the sower and then other parables. As he spoke to the people, the word of God. Faithfully, discriminatingly, lovingly, prayerfully. And let us seek to be among that good ground which we read of. It was that alone that brought forth the good fruit. And increased. But here at the close of the day, he suddenly gives his disciples a command. Let us pass over unto the other side. They didn't know what was before them, but he did. And although they didn't know it, they had the promise for the trial. They would get to the other side because Jesus said they would. Let us pass over. Unto the other side. Perhaps the disciples did not want to go to the other side. Perhaps because it was the end of the day, they wanted their rest and sleep, but they were to have no sleep that night. And it was necessary for them and for the church of God and for the greater glory of God. And for the increase of their faith that they have a sleepless night. It was not the will of the Saviour that they stay there that day. Let us pass over. Is this a word for one of you here? Let us pass over unto the other side. Is this a word of direction for one of you? And you tremble? And in your heart of hearts, you don't really want to go and do what he has told you to do? But here is the key. Let us He's promised to go with you. He's promised to support you. He's promised to guide you. He's promised to bring you through. And if he has told you to pass over, it is because he intends to bless you and to use you where he has told you to go. Seek grace to obey his command. You'll bring greater trouble if you stay where you are. Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. He'd been preaching in the ship because of the great multitude. His disciples obeyed and ventured forth to the other side. They ventured forth because he had told them to, in love. And it was their privilege to obey him. And whatever he tells you to do, do it. Even though it may at times be difficult for the flesh, they obeyed. Now here is where reality conflicts with human nature. We might think that because they were in the path of obedience, they would have a smooth crossing. But they didn't. Suddenly there arose a great storm. Do not be surprised if when you follow what the Lord tells you to do, there is opposition. Did the Lord tell you to do something, and now you have come into the opposition, which is hindering what he's told you to do? Had you mistook the way? Had you misheard and misunderstood what he had said? No. You heard right. But it is for the trial of your faith. So what are you to do? Well, first of all, take heed to what these disciples did and didn't do. No matter how great the storm, no matter how much the waves beat into the ship, they did not turn round and go back. They did not give up. That's what the devil wanted them to do. Because he saw that mad Gadarene, which you read of in the next chapter. He saw the Lord Jesus coming closer and closer to that one who he had held captive so long. And he probably had a good idea as to why the Lord Jesus was taking that journey. So what are you to do? You can't go back. You seemingly can't go on. Pray to God to give you the patience to endure and to wait for the door to be opened. It will open, but not yet. Not yet. Pray on. Wait on. Watch on. Continue your preparations, whatever they might be. And in God's good time, in the right time, In the time perhaps most unexpected, he will say, "Peace be still." And what was an impossibility will suddenly happen. And then you will see all the glory and all the honor and all the praise must go to him. Had it been easy, perhaps it would have gone to you by mistake. But he does not intend it to be so. He intends the crown to be put where it belongs, on his head. So don't be discouraged. Go on. There were also with him other little ships. Now, one or two thoughts on this. First of all, it seems to me that those in these other little ships, and we're not told how many they were, they went with the Lord out of love. It seems the Lord said to his disciples in the ship, "Let us pass over onto the other side." They had this command. And so they ventured forth. Now these other little ships, they see the boat leave. And out of love to the Saviour, they are constrained to follow. Because they do not wish to be separated from him. They wish to learn more of him, more of his words, more of his doctrine, more of his preaching. And in love, they too, that evening, set forth. They were prepared to have a sleepless night rather than be parted from him. Now I draw a bow at a venture here. And there may be one of you this evening who is constrained to put on an open profession. But the thing that holds you back is you don't feel you've had a specific command. Well, look at the example here. There were also with him other little ships. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bids you undismayed go on. Go on. Constrained by love. To obey what his word tells you. There may be some of you constrained to help a fellow believer in need. Go on and help them. There may be one of you constrained in some matter which is known only between you and the Lord, which is so secret that nobody else knows anything about. Go on. There were also with him other little ships. They went constrained by love. That's the best way to go, is it not? Sometimes the Lord's constrainings and the Lord's drawings are in themselves a voice, in themselves a command. He is sovereign. He doesn't always speak in the way we might expect. But his drawings and his constrainings are in themselves a voice to us to heed. And then we notice it says they were with him. They weren't as close to him as those 12 disciples. They were a bit more distance away. They could see him, but perhaps some of them they couldn't hear him. They could see the 12, but couldn't hear what they were saying. The great point was they were with him. And they were following him. And although it doesn't say so, I am absolutely certain that not one of those little ships perished. Because being with him, they were under his care. Under his keeping. Safe and secure. Under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. Now may this be a word of encouragement to some of you. Perhaps you've come into the Lord's house this evening disheartened. You see some of those who you're acquainted with, and they are great in faith. And you admire the great faith and the great grace that they show. The wisdom that they are given. The fruits of the Spirit that they show. And it is evident that they walk very closely with the Lord. And you wish you had their faith. But you feel be more of a child. Not to know so much. To be more at a distance. To have only a little grace, a little faith. Well, God Almighty had appointed each of these their place in these various ships. The 12 were favoured to be the nearest. But there were others in these little ships who were equally favoured. Although not to be as close as others, they were with him still. Thank God then for what he has done for you. Thank God if you can trace how he's had mercy on you. Thank God if you can trace some little encouragement he's given you. Maybe just one word. You know, one word's enough. Yes, ask for more. Ask for an increase in faith, in grace. It's a good thing to ask for. Ask that you might be drawn yet nearer and closer to the Lamb and to walk closer to him. But don't despair. Don't despise these small beginnings. There's going to be that growth. There's going to be that drawing nearer to him in his time. You've got to wait his time. But in the meantime, you may be one of these outer ships, but you're still with him. And he knows where you are. And his care for you, and his love for you, and his concern for you, and his mercy for you is just as great and as deep as it was for 11 of the 12 disciples who were in this boat. You are loved with the same love. Blessed with the same faith. Saved by the same blood, clothed in the same garment of righteousness, given that same faith, going the same narrow way to heaven. Does Satan tempt you to give up and call no more on Jesus' name? Cast not away your little hope. Come hither and behold the Lamb. Behold him as the Lamb of God, as your Lamb. So this evening, poor tempted believer, you may feel to be perhaps more far off from him. But you're not cut off. You're not forgotten. You're not left behind. You're not an outcast. You're not a Judas Iscariot. You are one who he has loved and chosen and redeemed and saved. There were also with him other little ships. And although, no doubt, when this great storm of wind and waves arose, and the darkness came, it hid the Saviour's boat from their eyes. And no doubt the storm of wind literally drew the ships greater at a greater distance apart. But not one of them was ever out of the eyes of the Saviour. Nor out of his care. They were as close to him as they were when they set off. And they had to learn the lesson that waves obey him and the storms before him fly. And so have you got to learn that same lesson, tried believer, this evening. Let us pass over onto the other side. And maybe one of you is in this trial of faith. You can't feel him near. Perhaps you've had trials before, but you felt him near. But now you don't feel him to be so near. Your feelings don't make any difference. He is here. Because he has promised not to forsake you or to leave you alone. Sometimes he tries our faith and allows us to feel alone. We may learn our dependence upon him more. That we may even more value his presence when we are favored to know it. Did you not ask for an increase of grace and faith? Well, this is the way it happens in the trial. He puts you into those situations where you need greater faith than you ever needed it before. And he's going to give you that greater faith, but he's going to remind you where that faith comes from. It comes from him. Not from yourself. You can't produce it. And you can't sustain it either. We are as much dependent upon him to sustain our faith as to give that faith. Ask him then to give you faith and also to sustain it. And to give you that grace to glorify him and honor him in the trial. There were also with him other little ships. And perhaps you feel to be greatly alone. Well, take courage. One of the main reasons the Saviour gave this command was because he saw one man, the other side in the country of the Gadarenes, in great need. He left the multitudes, those hundreds who were coming to hear him, because he loved and cared that one man and saw he had need of him. And that Gadarene couldn't come to him, so he went to him. Maybe this evening you feel like that mad Gadarene, in chains. You can't get free, possessed of Satan. No matter what you do, you can't get loose. You feel devil-dragged. And it is one of your great trials that this evening you feel you cannot come to the Saviour. Ask him then to come to you. And take courage. From this word, the Lord was willing and prepared to go through a storm to get to that mad Gadarene because he loved him. No one else cared for him. Everyone else had forgotten about him. But not the Saviour. Such is the love and care he has for one soul. And such is the love and care he has for every soul for whom he has suffered and bled and died for. Therefore, this evening, ask him to come and to supply your need. Lay that need before him. Don't tell him what to do. Humbly ask him to come and do his will for you. And you'll be amazed at what he will do. There were also with him other little ships. Only little ships. They weren't great big liners, were they? That would be more comfortable in a storm, but they were little ships. And a little ship feels the instability of the waves more. It's less able to handle things. Well, the Lord has seen fit, as it were, to put you in this little ship to come into this great storm, because he doesn't intend you to handle it on your own. He intends to teach you dependence upon him. He intends to teach you that you cannot do without him. He intends to empty you and make you small and humble you and lay your pride low. He intends you to bring you right to this point. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst deliver me. But for the sake of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy. And when you come there, that's when he'll deliver you. And he'll keep you in that storm until you come there. And sometimes why we have to go through long-lasting trials. You would want them to be over quick. The Lord doesn't intend them to be over quick because he intends to teach us many lessons in them that we would not be able to learn elsewhere. But believer and tried believer this evening, who may long have been in the trial, he says to you tonight, I am with thee. Israel passing through the trial, and that's all you need. They were with him. Remember, they may have been little ships, but they were with him. Who? With Jesus. With the Almighty Saviour. With him. Who winds and waves submit to his command. So they were in the safest possible place. It did not matter that they were little. It didn't matter they were weak, because he was and he is strong, and he's still strong this evening hour. There were also with him other little ships. And no doubt those little ships stayed with him too. Not one of them went back either. The trial of faith. Satan tempts you to give up. But to whom else are you going to go? For salvation. For protection. Can you go back into the world that you've left? And do you really think if you went back into that world that you would find satisfaction? That you would find peace? You would find security? No, you would not. There's no way back. Believer, go on. Row on. Wrestle on. Pray on. Because with Jesus and in his presence, you can't be wrong. No matter what may come. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The original Greek says it was a hurricane. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Full of water. And they waited until it was full of water before they awakened the Saviour. Perhaps that's where they went wrong. Why did they wait so long to wake him? And trembling believer, why have you waited so long before you've gone to God in prayer? Is it any wonder you haven't been delivered when you've tried to handle it on your own? Is it any wonder you haven't been delivered when you've gone to everybody else but the throne of grace for help? Could the creatures help or ease us? Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Long we either slight or doubt him. But when all the means we've tried prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. Fear thou not, distressed believer. Venture on his mighty name. He is able to deliver, and his love is still the same. Can his pity or his power suffer thee to pray in vain? Wait but his appointed hour, and thy suit thou shalt obtain. It's a promise. But can you really complain that he hasn't delivered you and you haven't even asked? There was one of the Lord's people in business who had a difficulty which he thought was a routine work difficulty. And he tried to solve it and went to this person and that person. To his astonishment, it didn't come right It multiplied till he came to his wit's end, and then suddenly the Lord spoke. He said, "You haven't asked me yet." And he went before him in humble confession that he hadn't asked. And he laid his case before him, and he said, "Within an hour it was solved." Sometimes the Lord has to teach us in these hurricanes of the value of prayer, the value of wrestling prayer, and the value of praying to him early in a trial. Also with him other little ships. The waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Here we see him in his manhood. We are about to see him as Almighty God, as he deals with the storm. But here for a moment we see him as man. As God, he didn't need to sleep. And as God, in full control, he was fully aware of the situation. But as man, he's asleep. He's been weary with the burden of the day as he has preached to the people and the multitudes. And we have here a beautiful example that he was a real man. And as such, he needed real sleep. And that is part of the doctrine of our most holy faith. We contend that the Lord Jesus was a real man in body and in soul, and that is a vital point, because you and I need a real man to be our Saviour. Here we see him in his sacred, holy, sinless humanity, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What a prayer. "Carest thou not?" And have not some of you in your trial said the same thing? "Carest thou not?" What an accusation. Of course he cared. The fact that he was there showed his care. He had come down from heaven because he cared for them. He cared so much for them. He had left his radiant throne on high and was living this sinless life. He was on the journey to Calvary for them. Now that must have cut into the heart, such a prayer. "Carest thou not that we perish?" He rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. Is this what you're longing for this evening? There's a hymn which has been written right on this subject. One verse goes something like this: "Master, in anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish, sweep all my sinking soul, and I perish, dear Master, awaken and take control. But he goes on, and may it be a comfort to one of you this evening. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Wherever the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or devil, or men, or whatever it be, no storm can harm that ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. Beloved friends, he still says, peace, be still. He has not lost either his ability or his willingness to calm your storm. He's still in control. And the winds and the waves have to obey. Satan's agents can only go so far. And although they may be completely unaware of it, they are bound. So they cannot harm you. Interestingly, the original Greek for this word, peace, be still, likens it to a muzzle. You know what a muzzle is, don't you? A dog has its mouth secured so it can't hurt you. It's impossible for a muzzled animal to hurt you with its mouth. That is what this word literally means in the Greek. He muzzled the wind. And he can muzzle Satan's agent who is opposing you this evening, who has brought things to a complete halt for you. He can muzzle Satan and he can muzzle his agents just like that. And whereas before the storm was raging at the full fury and the winds and the waves were crashing into that boat, and the disciples could do nothing about it. And that may be where you are this evening, tossed with waves. He has but to speak three words, and the matter changed in a moment. There was a great calm. I understand that on the Sea of Galilee, where these storms often come suddenly because of the climate and the fact that where it is situated. But when a storm takes place, normally it takes 2 or 3 days for the sea to come to a complete calm. But not when the Saviour says, peace, be still. Immediately there is a great calm. Immediately the wind ceases to blow. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And to you this evening, this is what he says. Why are ye so fearful? Have you forgotten that almighty arm? Have you forgotten that he is the ruler of the sea? Have you forgotten that he has all men under his control? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? But though they had no faith, he still appeared for them. He still delivered them from all their fears, from all their dread. The wind and the waves ceased, and that water miraculously was removed from that boat. It didn't sink, neither did the other little ships either. They got safe to land. So will you. And when suddenly, unexpectedly, he delivers you and says, "Peace, be still," you too will say, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You'll be brought to own this man is no less an almighty God, that he is your faithful, unchangeable, unchanging friend, who, though you do not deserve it, still cares for you, still loves you, still delivers you. Man of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him. They still obey him. Whatever the storm may be, even the storm of death itself will not harm a believer. That storm will end in eternal peace. There will be no more separation, and there will be no more storms, and no more darkness in heaven. But all will know that enjoyment of that near presence. Well, there may be one of you this evening who says, "Well, this is all very interesting, but I'm not in a storm." Well, maybe this coming week you may come into a storm unexpectedly. When you do, may you remember this word. Maybe some of you know that there are some storms looming over the horizon, and you can't avoid them. Then plead this word. What's a word for you to go into the storm with? Plead it before your God. Take it home. "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." That's all you need. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £670, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening and addressed by Mr. Robert Field, followed by a church meeting. And Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. There will also be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 184. "Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor." 184. Thank you.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name thus far this day. Bless thy word unto us. Give to us that faith that can withstand the storm. And may, Lord, we be found with thee, not absent from thee or separated from thee. Dismiss now with thy richest blessing those who go on their way. Watch over them, take them under thy safe care and keeping. And likewise, Lord, may we be under that same blessing, care and keeping, as we now at thy gracious command and invitation come to thy table to remember thy sufferings, or to watch from afar. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of God the Holy Ghost abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.